It's good to be here again this morning. I thought it was 3 years, but then Sandy did the math correctly. And it's only been basically 2 years since we were here last. But it feels like 3 years, and I think that's just because of COVID in the middle there. But I don't know. Maybe you guys didn't have COVID here. Maybe it was just us out in Idaho. Okay, fine. Maybe you had it too. But we had it worse because we're out west. No, we didn't. No, it's good to be here this morning. I was kidding, but I actually had two things written down on my paper. Two things that are the two rules we don't want to break. First one is, it's the Lord's ministry. And thank you, Dean, for saying that. He has us ministering. And as Paul's going to be sharing to the Corinthians later on, it is not for his honor and glory, Paul's and Timothy's honor and glory, but it's for the honor and glory of the Lord. And that's what we're out there for. We are, and it's so wonderful. I can't find it right, especially without my glasses. But Paul says in one of the verses today that he is a bondservant. They are a bondservant. And normally you would say a bondservant of the Lord. But in this portion of scripture, he says, we're a bondservant of you. And so much, that's how I feel. And I know Sandy probably feels the same way. We are servants of yours, going out and sharing the gospel out west. We're bondservants of the Lord, but we're bondservants of yours. And so in your name, and because of your support and watching over us, that's why we can do what we can do. And so it's been so many years, basically 23 years, that some of you ask, what are you going to be doing when you're in Idaho? And we say, well, we're going to be working on building a Christian camp out there, that a group out there is starting and everything. And somebody else said, well, how are you going to be funded? How are you going to get paid? In fact, my brother asked the same question as he's sitting in his Mercedes convertible. How are you going to be paid? And I said, I don't know. And he says, you don't know how you're going to be paid? I said, no, it's up to the Lord. And he says, well, what are you going to get paid? I said, I don't know. They said they had potatoes and elk for us. So I guess we're going to eat well. But we didn't know. And this church said, we want to send you. And we want to be there for you. And all these years, you have faithfully watched over us and taken care of our needs. And different times, you know, Lord, don't know where the finances are coming, but the finances always come from here and from many, many others. There's three churches here, Butter Valley, Springfield, and you guys that have always supported us from the very beginning. And then there's churches out there in Idaho and many, many other individuals here and out there. And we're just so grateful for that. Back to the second rule, that is that we are not retired. We are retooled. You'll see it out there on our display even. We still go from church to church and place to place, and people always ask us, so how's retirement? Like, who's retired? Maybe Ed Bolner or somebody, but not me. but we just... And the pastor at Inkham Community Bible Church, he was the one who said it the very first time when he introduced us when we moved into the new ministry and said that they are not retiring, they're being retooled. And I love that expression because for those of us, any of us, even those who cook and bake and those who do woodworking and metalworking, you're on a project and you're working away and you've got all your tools out and everything that you're doing for that project. And then you move on to another project. So you clean up, well, some of us don't, but you clean up all your tools and you put them aside and you pull out the next ones that you need for the next project that you're doing. So you're retooling for that next project. And that's what we've been doing for almost 3 years now. Sandy and I retooled, and instead of being just at the camp, we're everywhere. Wherever the Lord calls and leads us is where we go. And so in the past almost 3 years now, we thought we would be more out and about around the country and around the world, but the Lord has really kept a lot of our ministry in Idaho itself because there is so much need right there. A lot of small churches that just don't have finances, pastors are struggling and or they're by themselves. Talking to one pastor just recently, and he was saying, you know, I'm in the pulpit more here part-time than I was when I was full-time in the larger church, because they don't have anybody else to help fill the pulpit with them and to take over so that they can take a break. And so that's one of the things that we do. I go around and fill the pulpits at about five different churches in our area. I say our area, but you all who came out to Idaho for many years know our area is our area. So the average church is probably, about an hour away, hour and a half drive. Some of them are 2 hours and more. Jackson Hole, Wyoming is over 2 hours. I fill the pulpit there and all the way down to Soda Springs. But about five different churches, and that's just in the past couple years. There's other churches that I have to turn down because I might be already booked at a different church. So there's probably about 10 to 11 different churches that call on us to come out and minister with them. And we're just grateful to do that. Other things that we do are, I forgot. We've got to have an intermission now. We have to have a commercial. We all have to sing happy birthday for Mary Ellen Hoover, who is 92 years old. Hi, Mary Ellen. Happy birthday. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mary Ellen Hoover. Happy birthday to you. I only know her as Mary Ellen Hoover. Yay! I got a text message from John this morning that it was her birthday to say happy birthday. So I just saw it on my notes. If I don't follow my notes, I'm all over the place. We do a lot of service projects, ministry projects. I've been on a project for 9 months, and you can see it on our board out there. I think I might have shared it with you because it was kind of the upcoming project when we were here the last time. And that was a real small little church, 100-year-old chapel. Actually, they call themselves Ryrie Chapel, and they have had stairs that were 7 foot tall, very steep, concrete was breaking away outside of the building, and outside of the building, stairs does not work in the wintertime. And so I actually have pictures of the pastor out there, you know, scraping and shoveling those icy stairs, and the handrails they had replaced, so they were all the way down here. And so it was very difficult for anybody, especially older people like Art Rush, to get up to the top of those stairs. Hi, Art. I parked next to him so I could find my car. Anyhow, there were people that could not come to church anymore just because of those stairs. And so they were praying and trying to figure out how they could put those stairs inside. And so the Lord gave us that opportunity to go and do that. We tore the whole front of that building off, and you can see some pictures out there of put a whole new front structure on, put the stairs inside, put stair lifts going up and down, because down goes to Fellowship Hall and up to the sanctuary. And then there was other rooms that they weren't going to redo with broken up concrete. You'd walk through the new section into that. And I said, we have to do those too. And so we did other rooms and had to turn their bathroom into a handicap accessible bathroom. So I was on that project for about 9 months. Sandy didn't get a chance to help on that one much. I had a few volunteers helping with me. But I always forget to say the things that she's doing. And she always says, well, Perry does the upfront things, the stuff you get pictures of and all. But there is actually Sandy on some of those pictures back there this time, because she got to do some of the physical things. But the ministry that the Lord has led her in, and might you think she's sitting around, but those who know Sandy know she doesn't sit around, is that she does a lot of women's ministry, a lot of counseling and mentoring with different ladies. It's disguised as healthy walks. And she says that she goes and walks with them. But during those times, they share their hearts during those times of walking. She's also a chaplain. They just started a chaplain program out there. And she says, I want to be part of that. And the gentleman involved is like, we could use couples. I said, no, I have enough. Thank you. So she's on her own as one of the chaplains in our area. And so she's on call a couple times a month. And she could be called out to the scene of an accident. Their main responsibility is to share with those who have suffered loss. So they will go to the family or share with the family and comfort the family. They've had just recently a 2-year-old that passed away in the middle of the night. And so the chaplains went to comfort the parents, all kinds of accidents and things like that. So she has gone out on a few of those now, but is all trained up and is one of our chaplains. So there's multiple things that she does. Our newest project is the Brenda Wood Project. And for some of you, you know that name, Brenda Wood. She's the program director at Old Faithful Christian Ranch, has been the program director for the past 10 years now. And she's the only kind of one of the original members on staff of the camp. And so she was 8, 9 years old when we got there, and now she's a little taller. She's here, and she's 34 now, and she has faithfully been ministering at that camp for all these years. And I know a bunch of you met her, and she's just the neatest gal. Loves the Lord deeply. She stayed home with her father. The rest of the family had moved off to different places, and she stayed with her dad because her dad, her mother left when she was 5, 6 years old, and her father raised all 5 kids in the pictures that you'll see out there on that board. He was a collector because he could build and rebuild anything. So if you had an old, if Ross had a couple old chainsaws laying around that weren't worth nothing, Jack, you want these? Sure. And he would take them, and he'd collect 5, 6, 12, 200 of them, and then he would take pieces from this one and that one and put them together and make them run. And so his whole place, 2 acres, is covered in metal. Everything from snowblowers to lawnmowers to snowmobiles to anything you can imagine. There's some I walk around and go, I don't have a clue what that is, and I should know what it is. And at the same time, he was such a godly man that he served everybody else. And didn't have time to do a lot of things at home. Even though Brenda and him were happy as the Dickens there, they were in a 1976 house trailer, 14 by 70, and the roof is coming in, and the faucets are all shot, and everything's drippy and leaky, and he would take logs and put them up and put an old piece of plywood up there and stick them up and brace them up, and okay, that's good enough for now. And that's the way Brenda lived and loves it. But now that her dad passed away a little over 2.5 years ago now, she's on her own there. And it's nothing for her to be able to have to try to keep up with that place. So we kind of grabbed onto her and took care of her initial needs. That was to put a tarp over the roof to keep it from leaking for now. Put a furnace in because all they had was a wood stove, so they always had to be there. The pipes would freeze. The well is an open well down in a rough building, and that would freeze up when the electric go out. So I put a furnace in there for her. All of this was in preparation of the actual project, which is to build a mini house for her on the property and move her into that. And so we were supposed to do that this year. But I got up there and there was so much stuff in the way, it took all year this year, all summer, to move that stuff, to sell it off, to get rid of it, to scrap it, to sell off the recyclables, things like that. And so Sandy and I have been over there and others have volunteered and we've been working on getting that ready. So if you go back there and you look on our display board on the left side, you go, what is that junkyard? That's where Brenda lives. And she's just happy as anything because it all reminds her of her dad. And so we're up helping her as much as we can. So we pushed off the building until this coming year. So this coming year, our major project all year long as the snow is not there, will be to build a mini house for her on a fifth wheel frame. And that way it's still portable if she moves ever from there. And the rest of the property is owned by the rest of the family. So this way that is hers. And different people are donating towards it. We have about $21,000 donated so far for materials and all. So it shouldn't cost her anything for it. And volunteers are coming to help build the project. And so once it's built and done, it'll be hers. And so then that way there won't be confusion in the family as to, well, that's partly ours. Well, it's not. It's all hers. So meanwhile, in all of that busyness, we still had another church, Income Community Bible Church, say, pastor came up to me and said, do you think we can replace the roof on our church? And that's not a big thing unless you look at the pictures back there. That was 37 feet off the ground. Last stop was the blacktop parking lot, and it was a steel roof, and we had to do it all with harnesses and ropes. And it was about the worst roofing project I've ever done. But we got through it. The Lord watched over us, kept us all safe. And so we take on other projects. Just coming in here, the reason we drove in was there was a project in Kentucky at the Ark Some of you know Don Landis from past years. They used to live in Quakertown. He has the Jackson Hole Bible College right there in Jackson Hole. Also, the church is there. He's the pastor of the church. And it's also a camp too, Rocky Mountain Lodge. And so he bought some property by the Ark because he's on the board, put some cabins there, and they bring the college students in and utilize those cabins for teaching and all at the Ark and at the museum. So we weren't sure. In fact, I had just said to Sandy, I don't know what we're going to be doing in October. Lord hasn't really thrown anything out there yet for us. And we stepped into the building at Jackson, and Don said, hey, what are you doing in October? And so I guess we figured that's what we're supposed to be doing. So we've actually been on the road for 3 weeks already. The first 2 weeks, first week we were traveling, and then the second, third week, no, that doesn't add up. Well, Sandy does the math. Anyhow, we were basically 2 weeks in Kentucky at the loft, and we built bunk beds in a shed to house some of these college students and worked on other things there at the facility. And then Sandy and I got the opportunity to go with Don and Bev and walk around the Ark in the museum, and they have those nice little paths that get you in everywhere. So you get to see the backsides of the dinosaurs moving and stuff that nobody else, you see the front, back, anyhow. So we got to see the places where they actually build all of those things and everything. And the heart of the, if you've never gone, and this is not an advertisement, but if you've never gone to the Ark or the Creation Museum, it's definitely worthwhile. We knew about it before it ever was built because of Don Landis, when it was just the concept. But the heart of that ministry, Answers in Genesis, is solid for the Lord to the point that everything that you did in that place has a gospel message to it. And so even just walking through that Ark, it shares, I don't want to ruin the story, but anyhow, it shares all about the flood and how Noah built the ark and everything about it. And you can't leave that, well, you could if you wanted to, but when you leave that building, a whole section is just the gospel message. Even to the point that we went to a canine demonstration because they have six canine dogs to sniff out drugs and stuff and tasty cakes, I think. But anyhow, they're sniffing out stuff around the Ark and around the museum. And so Sandy goes, let's go to the canine demonstration. I like the little doggies. Okay, whatever. And so we sat there in this big auditorium, and he's up front with his dog and showing how they do everything. And up behind him is scripture on the wall. And he kept referring to that scripture and kept saying that, you know, the only reason we are here is for the good news of Jesus Christ. And so it's really a worthwhile place to go and to hang out and to take friends and all, and to and especially to take somebody that doesn't know the Lord. So that's basically what we've been doing. Old Faithful Christian Ranch, we are still involved some with them. Sandy more so than I am. I tried to stay away so I don't overshadow what's going on and things. So if I am asked, I come up and I help, especially when there's something they can't do or nobody else can do it. Then I'll go up and help them out. But otherwise, I try to stay away. It was kind of rough the past couple years with COVID and everything. But this year was a good year again. Brenda had struggles because of her dad passing away. But this year was more normal again. And we had about 300 or so campers come through there, 300 to 400 somewhere in there. And the gospel message was shared again, just like always. So everything you built is not going to ruin. It's being used, and the gospel message is being shared. So what you did was worthwhile and continues to be worthwhile. So that's what we've been doing. If you have any questions, see us in the back, because now we got to switch to the gospel. So let's get our Bibles out and turn to 2 Corinthians. If you have it on your phone, then get your phone out. But I think the Eagles game might still be on. So, Schroeder, if I see you smiling at the wrong time, I know you're not looking at your scripture. But, but 2 Corinthians chapter, we're going to be kind of jumping around in chapter 4 and chapter 5. And we are going to be all over the place. And that's because of how Paul wrote this and how I looked at it, what he wrote, that we're going to kind of be back and forth. So you're going to have to try to keep up, and I'm going to have to try to remember to tell you where I'm at, because I tend to skip around a bunch. But before we get started, now that you have it, put your finger in it, and let's pray. Father, I thank you again for this congregation, for the gospel message that they are sharing here in this area. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to go and share other places all around, even to missions trips in Mexico and all. Lord, it's just, there's too numerous things to mention, but I thank you, Lord, that we have this time and this common bond is all because of you. And I thank you, Lord, that you gave us your word, that it wasn't just through word of mouth, but instead inspired by the Holy Spirit, that you gave us your word so that we can read it together and study it together and learn from it together and grow together in you. Now I pray, Lord, that you take charge of this message, that you speak through me. Lord, the things that I say that aren't worthy, let them fall away. But the things that are said today through you, Lord, I just pray that we remember them for life and that we put them into practice. Bless this time that we have to now in your word, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians, we're going to start right kind of in the middle in chapter 4. And as every good pastor knows, which that leaves me out, that anytime you're reading through God's word and it says, therefore, what should you do? Find out what it's there for. I saw some of your mouths move, so you know. So as I was reading through this and preparing for this message, my focus was on chapter 5. and it was to be that way because it talked about we being in our earthly tents, and that as long as we're in this earthly tent, we're groaning and in pain and suffering and everything. And I thought, yeah, that's our lives now, all those of us who are getting old and having all the ailments and everything. But then when I was focusing on chapter 5, the beginning of it, I needed to look before that to see what Paul was saying about why was he sharing about these earthly tents that we're in. And so we're going to start with the first. We're only going to cover three therefores. There's a whole bunch of them in here. But we're going to start with chapter 4, verse 16. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. And we're going to stop right there because he is sharing with us what are we supposed to not lose heart about. And so it's kind of like coming in the middle of a play, not knowing for sure what's going on here. But Paul and Timothy were sharing with the Corinthians in his second letter to them about how their ministry was going, their ministry, God's ministry, how the ministry was going that the Lord had them doing. And he was sharing with them that the Lord has shown mercy. Well, if you look at back to verse 1, there's another therefore. I didn't want to go there because then we're into another therefore. But it says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. They were sharing with those around them, wherever the Lord took them to minister, about the mercy and the grace of God. But there were struggles and hard times going on. And as I read through chapter 4 and different parts of chapter 4, I realized how much they are just like the times that we are going through right now. If we look at back in chapter 4, if we look at verse 8, we see that he shares, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. The times that Paul was living in were filled with hostility. They were out sharing the gospel, but they were sharing a different gospel than those that were following Judaism were following. They were telling them about the true Christ and about him dying for their sins, but that was not what they were teaching. That's not what they grew up learning and understanding. So Paul was getting pushback from the local church, from the temple, from the leaders. And they were looking to literally kill him and take him from sharing that message. He was also during a time where the government was in a lot of upheaval. I mean, he was sharing the gospel message while Rome was in power. And they weren't just saying, no, don't do that. You know, they were putting people on the cross as they did our Savior. They were also struggling with things. You know, he talks about the persecution he was going through, and the persecution, if you remember, that he was going through were things like being shipwrecked, being beaten, being left for dead, being imprisoned. Those were the things that he was struggling with. And I then look at the things going on today and the struggles that we're going through today, and I look at them and think they seem kind of minor in a sense to what he was going through. But yet he said, do not lose heart. Even though you are persecuted, we have Christ to fall back on. And for us today, even though, you know, the government seems unstable at the moment, and we don't know which way to go and which way to turn, what the truth is, what the truth isn't, we have those struggles. We can still be here today in fellowshipping together like this. Even though there's churches out there that are sharing a message that is totally different than what's going to be shared here today, and they're not calling sin anymore sin, we still have this opportunity because of Christ to be here together like this. We're not being imprisoned so much here in Harleysville or out in Idaho, but around the world they are. So as Paul wrote here, we are afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. With all of this going on, how could we not lose heart? And it's because of verse 14. Chapter 4, verse 14 says, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. He's sharing here with the Corinthians and with us that we have the reassurance in this life because of Christ. Everything that we're going to be talking about today, we have to be reminded that this is only for those who are believers. When I came in today, we still don't know the lay of the land. We wandered right through the Sunday school class back there. And as we were setting up the display, I'm hearing the individual up on the video speaking about sharing the gospel with others and our need to go and share the gospel with others. But how many times do we share the gospel over and over again, maybe to individuals? And it doesn't take. You just think to yourself, how do they not understand this? How do they not understand that they need Jesus as their Savior? That if they don't, the alternative is hell. Paul addresses that here in chapter 4. If you turn back to verse, and this is kind of a little bunny trail here, if you would, but about sharing the gospel, and since I heard you sharing the gospel there, verse 3 and 4, he says, and even if our gospel is veiled, so him and Timothy are going around sharing the gospel with others. He says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the mind of the unbelievers that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. He is sharing here that the world that he lived in had so much struggles and persecution and all that as they were sharing that gospel message and it was not being received, it was veiled to those who were perishing. But he also shared that the God, little g, the God of this world, was blinding their eyes. And I look from then to now and just even the things that have been happening in the past 20 years, I look at how much the eyes of so many are being blinded. The God of this world, there may not be a statue, an idol standing up in front of us, but there's so many other little ones, things that take our eyes off of Christ or keep them from ever being on Christ. When he talks about those who were perishing, that they are ones that their eyes were blinded, so they could not see that glorious. So those were individuals that may not have ever heard about Christ, but got so involved in the things of this world that their eyes are blinded. So our first therefore is, therefore we do not lose heart. Why don't we lose heart? Is because we have the reassurance, as Paul shares here, the reassurance of life with Christ. Second therefore is found in chapter 5, verse 6. And it says, therefore, being always of good courage. Since we have the therefore, we go back to see why do we have good courage? How do we have good courage? We move back to verse, I told you we're going to be all over the place. We move back to verse 16, and we see that it says further on, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. The things of this world, and a little further down in verse 18, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul is writing here that the world and us physically, the outer body is decaying. I found out that more and more, even on our trip here. We went to visit, Greg Stenson, Greg and Jackie, and then we stayed for a few days with Lori and Steve. Everybody says hi. Well, Lori and Steve says hi. Greg and Jackie would only know some of you. But we got a chance to stay with them, and I felt like a bunch of old people. We just talked about all of our illnesses and our sicknesses and things. They had a right to, and we needed to know what was going on because both Steve and Greg both have autoimmune illnesses. And both of them, Steve especially, if you hadn't heard, was very, very severe to the point he spent a week, 2 weeks in CCU, in the intensive kind of the critical care unit of the hospital. And the thing that he had, which I can't tell you what it was, you'll have to look it up on his Facebook page or his Caring Bridge page, affects the nerves in the body and everything. Oh, Penny knows. I should ask her. Anyhow, it shuts everything down, and he literally couldn't do anything for that time when he was in the critical care unit. We expected to see somebody that was just, you know, really hurting, but he greeted us at the door, and all he had was just a cane. But before that, he had to learn to talk again, learn to walk again, and used a walker and everything. So he had reason to be hurting. But that body of his was decaying away. And Greg's, he was in denial because his eye was going, bleh, and his wife was saying, your eye, look at your eye. No, my eye's fine. And here it ended up being another autoimmune deficiency that showed up in that way. And I can't tell you the name of that one either. MG is the initials for it. But we got there, and the whole time we're just, well, so what hurts with you? What's, you know, what's broken on you and everything? And what kind of drugs are you taking? Because they're both on drugs, but they're good drugs. They're not bad drugs. But then if you know Steve Landis at all, he was from Quakertown also, moved out to Jackson Hole. Steve came over the other day, and right away him and I are like, so, what'd you get fixed lately? And he's, oh, I got my shoulder done here. And he had both of his knees done at once. I can't believe he did that. But he's more of a man than I am. He had both of his knees done. I'm like, yeah, well, I had my rotator cuff done. And yeah, and he had bicep dislodged and all this stuff. We're going through all these. And the whole conversation ended when I told him, asked him if he wanted to see my scar from my hip replacement. He said, no. So I kind of ended at that point. But it all has to do with the outer body is decaying away. And I thought about, why is our outer body so fragile? Why did he put us in tents, as he said here, in these tents that are so fragile and only temporary? Why did he put us in those? But yet, if we stop and think back, these bodies were supposed to last forever. Before sin came into this world, before we submitted to sin, can't blame it on Adam and Eve, you'll learn that out in the Creation Museum. When we sin, it causes death. And these bodies are decaying away. So originally they were meant to live forever, had we not sinned. But we did, and now we have these frail bodies. Let's turn back to chapter 4. Turn to verse 7. Paul here gives us the reason why we have such frail bodies. He says in verse 7, chapter 4, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. And every time when I get up in this tent that I live in now, that's just temporary, and I get up, we were at pennies there. And she said to me at the table, I got up, went, kind of as I'm getting up, she goes, what's hurting? What isn't? My hair's fine, but it's leaving me now and then. But as we are failing, decaying, Paul says here, as this outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. And as I read that, I wrote in my Bible, is it? With a question mark. We know that our bodies are decaying away. We know that our tents are only temporary. But the question here is our inner man, is our inner body being renewed day by day? That's how we can have good courage. That's how we can have not a loss of heart. That's how we can get through these hard times that we're involved with. And we say, what's the use? I'm just falling apart. What's the use? Because our inner man, even as the outer is falling away, should be renewed each and every day. Paul goes on to share the other reasons why we can be of good courage, though he lays it out as our tents are being decaying away, being torn down, but we always have the eternal house to live, look forward to, that eternal body that we will have someday. Again, going back to this only refers to believers. Those who are not believers, their tents are decaying away also. And as much as they take the time to try to make those tents as nice as they can, and I'm not dissing on exercise and workout places and stuff. Greg says, here, arm wrestle me. He says, because I've been working out. So even with his, it was a good thing for him to work out with this illness that he has. And I went up and we were locked up. And then I remembered I buggered up my elbow a while back. I said, I can't do this anymore. So even though we're decaying away and he's working to keep this tent as good as it can be, for a non-believer, they can make this tent as nice as they want, but they have nothing to look forward to. And unfortunately, as Paul said, their eyes are being blinded by the god of this world. We need to be those ones, as it was said in Sunday school class, to go out and share that gospel message with them and pray that the Holy Spirit would open their eyes. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, how do we have good courage? Verse 5 of chapter 5. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. And I wrote in there, the helper. When Christ left this earth, he said, do not be discouraged, do not be saddened, because by me leaving, I am going to send a helper to you. I am going to send the Holy Spirit. When we're out in Idaho, we can't be here. As Pastor Dean said, you may not have seen us for a while, but our names were like one of those dead woods, you know, on your rolls, and we're never here. But we are. We're out there, but we can't be in here when we're out there. And the same thing when Christ was here on this earth. He couldn't be in two places at once. Even though he was fully God and fully man, he took on being a man while he was on this earth. So he said, with me leaving, I'll send the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is here. And that Holy Spirit is out in Idaho right now during their worship services and living in and amongst the believers out there. So we can have good courage because we have a pledge. We have a guarantee. And that is the Holy Spirit. God did not leave us alone and said, well, I'll be back sometime. Don't worry about it. Just take it by faith and not by sight that I'll be back. He left us that pledge of the Holy Spirit. Finally, our final therefore, chapter 5, verse 9. Therefore, also we have as our ambition. And I'll stop right there. What is our ambition? Go back up to verse 6. And it says, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. And I put a question mark there in my Bible and says, do we? Do we desire to be absent from this world? Or are we so hung up on the tents that we have here? Are we so hung up on the lives that we have around here? As he said, all the things that are temporal that we see each and every day, even this building, the new addition out there, when I was at Ryrie Chapel, the brand new addition that I just put on there makes it easier for those to come in and out of that building. But someday that'll be a discotheque. Because when we're raptured, the heathen are going to go, wow, nice building. They're going to look at this addition and go, wow, nice. It's got a skateboard right down there and everything. And they'll probably put a mirrored ball up here. And who knows? But who cares? We're not going to be here. We're going to be raptured and we're going to be taken to be with the Lord. But yet, as I said before, if you do not have the hope of Christ, how can you have good courage? The ambition that we should be having also is that each and every day we desire more to be with the Lord than we desire to be here on this earth. Because being present on this earth means that we're absent from the Lord. And we forget about that because our focus gets right here on what's right in front of us. I know it happens to me all the time when I'm on different projects. In fact, when we're on this Brenda project, Sandy goes, you're just a mess. Because I'm up there and I'll pick up this and I'll move this and then I'll go over here and I'll get this and I'll do that. And she's like, why don't you stay in one spot and work in one spot? And I can't because there's stuff everywhere. But wherever my focus turns or whatever I see, that's what I end up doing. And that's what's instilled in us. What we see here on this earth is important. Loving our families and our kids and friends and everything, living on this earth. God made us that way. But more important, he made us to love him. And we forget about that because of all the things that are going on, especially in this world today. And we lose focus on where we should desire to be more than anything. And what Paul is saying here, we should desire to be absent from this world, because then we're going to be present with the Lord. Final one I want to leave with you. The second part of this final therefore. So what in review, therefore we do not lose heart. Therefore we are always in good courage. Therefore we also have as our ambition. So also have on top of not losing heart, on top of not being having good courage, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Each and every day, if we wake up and our desire is to be with the Lord, then our desire is going to be whether he keeps us here on this earth or if tomorrow we're gone, as Paul said, that we need to be pleasing to him and that everything we do and everything we say should be pleasing to him. Changes our life a whole lot. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you again for the words that you have given to us through Paul, through the Holy Spirit, and that we can learn from them, Lord. Help us. It is so hard, Lord, but help us to share your gospel message with others no matter what happens, whether it falls upon those who have veiled eyes. Lord, I pray that more and more will come to know you because of your testimony through us. Lord, help us this week to put our focus more on being with you than being here. Father, help us not to neglect those around us that you have put here for us to love and to share the gospel with. But Lord, let there be a jitter in our hearts and in our lives that we're just anxious and desiring to live and be with you. Thank you, Lord, that we have that reassurance. And Lord, for those who do not know you, Lord, I pray that they would come to you, that they would find the truth of having you as their Lord and Savior and having eternity with you, so that this is not all we have. Thank you, Father. Amen.